than something like that just taken there. It wasn't a vision, it was a reality. And Jesus was literally there with him. And he explains exactly some of that's described in this book I'm going to share out of today. He explains exactly how Jesus was, what his attitude was, his posture, that he wasn't anxious, he wasn't complacent, but he wasn't like worried, concerned, or even intense, just very nonchalant, would walk through the crowd and point out people that had very, very major needs of healing and supernatural things. And James doesn't know how to explain this, except he doesn't know whether to say, but him and Jesus became one, and he became like the vehicle, but Jesus was truly doing this through him, which is a good picture. Like, that's really good. Yeah, that's really how it is. Yeah. And that's really how it should be. When we're speaking, when we're in the Spirit, it really needs to be that he, him and us. And James would be the hands and voice and whatever to this. And these people in this situation would be instantly healed. And this went on for a period of time. And then all of a sudden he is back in his room, in his bed, sweaty, dusty, like the manifestation of actually really being there. He had been there. And so he has these other experiences. And so you take a person like that has these supernatural experiences, and yet he is so solidly in the word and studies that. I think he has a doctorate and a couple letters beside his name that I don't have. But he takes that, and he has such a neat humor about him. He's a hippie that got saved back in the day, followed John Wimbert, was just affiliated with different people in ministry. And so we got to see him up in Akron, and he's going to be around speaking. And so if you ever get a chance to hear him, and actually some of our people were up there in Akron a month or so ago, and there were some awesome things that took place, like some permanent, transforming things. So, some of you are sitting there, I didn't know about that. Well, you've got to really be, like some of this stuff happens, we're gone there in 60 seconds, that kind of thing. So, James Maloney. Maloney, not baloney, but Maloney. Maloney. Right. Like Malone only, Maloney. Phyllis and I have been talking about this, and I'm coming to a whole new place of emphasis. And can I say that? I want to say something. I've got the mic. I'm going to say something. It is no small thing for any of us. I keep coming back to this subject, but we need to keep remembering this, that often we're fighting against this. Strongholds, like strongholds in your mind, and once you believe something to be true, it is not easy to break out of that thing. It can really, really keep pulling you back. For example, in my early Christian life, one of the things that I believed to be true were that gifts and signs and manifestations of the Spirit weren't for today. I believed that. I taught that. I was ready, back when in my college days and still being in the Baptist church, I was ready to take that message on the road, because I was like Paul. I even had some zeal for it. Like, I really did. I had no idea what I was talking about, but I felt really like, oh, this is my mission in life, to straighten everybody out about this. I had never even heard anybody speak in tongues or do anything supernatural, but I knew I was against it. Couldn't be right. Isn't that funny how we go there, how that happens? So when it came time, I was face to face with the reality that I couldn't explain it out of my Bible anymore. I'm like, I'm going to have to look at this. And so I begin a search, and it wasn't easy. And then it was not easy to come to a place of faith to receive. I did, but it was like plowing dirt, man. It just wasn't a, snap presto. I had a hard time because my mind, because of this stronghold of belief system in my mind was so strong, I fought it. So I experienced receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I got my prayer language. I was praying in tongues. I knew it was supernatural, and the Lord confirmed all that. But the stronghold continued. continued. It was always there. There are other things in the Christian walk that I embrace as truth, and I find out they're wrong, and that's cool. But when something's really a belief in your heart, it's hard to snap out of that thing. And often we're struggling, and no, everybody's looking at you like, dude, what's your problem? Like, snap out of it. All of you wives have looked at your husband. It's like, honestly, what is your issue? Get over it, you know. Get it right, whatever, you know. We do that to our kids. But once that thing is there, you can really, well, you can battle. Because it's in this realm of your conscience, and it's this realm of your truth, and your conscience is working overtime because it functions on what it believes to be true. It's a good member of your emotional psyche well-being. It's a reality. But if your conscience gets hooked up with something that's not true, then it's going to give you some problems. For example, your conscience knows when you've done something wrong, when you've sinned, when you've broken a command. Your conscience like beep 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 beep. You know, it's going off, and we go, man, I got a guilty conscience. Well, do something, you know, repent, turn and fix. But after you repent, and after you, you know, get reconnected with Jesus on that subject, and your conscience is still going off about it, then it's like, hey, that now it's an evil conscience, because it still has you hooked to a failure or a fault or a sin, and it's still going off. You know, it's the idiot light on your car dash that won't go off. You pound the dash, bam, bam. We've all had those old cars, you know. Bang it a couple times and rev up the engine again, you know, and it's still on. And pretty soon out comes the black electrical tape. You just mask over it. There, it's gone. And so your conscience functions on what it believes to be true. And so when a truth comes in, or when you've taken the appropriate action, then that thing needs to line up. And so I find when it comes to the things of the Spirit, there I'm often struggling. And whether it's tongues, like, and I want to actually talk about that. I don't know if I've ever just preached on that subject, but I want to share. I was reading from James' book. This is Overwhelmed by the Spirit. Some of the stories are in here. And I am promised that the end chapters are amazing. So, so far, chapter 1, 2, 3, and now I'm at 4, are amazing. So, you know, I'm just drinking it in. That there's a reluctance. And for example, many things in the Spirit that we experience aren't logical. So your logic can be fighting you on that. And I know when I've gone through my seasons of experiencing the Spirit, and some of, like, they're off the chart. And Phyllis had a hard time with some of it. And I don't blame her watching me and listening to me. And other people like, dude, like, whoa, this is too much. Like, and I'm be like, honestly, I'm with you. This is too much. You know, I'm not sitting with me. I'm sitting with you. Like, this is crazy. Where's this coming from? What is this? Is it real, you know? So you're struggling with that. And then you go, what's it doing? I've got to have a logical reason. What's it changing? What's it whatever? And praying in the Spirit, and if you haven't, you can receive this, a prayer language. I believe we should all have that. Just do. I'm not going to get it all legalistic, like it's got to be at this point, and et cetera, but I believe it's for every believer to receive your prayer language. That's available to you. If you don't have it, go after it. Ask in faith. But when you pray in the Spirit, and as Scripture describes it, your mind's not going to make sense of it, and it's going to be a problem for you. Your spirit prays, and God hears, but you're like, okay, I'm blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm making noise and sounds and articulating things, but it's not doing a thing for me. However, the promises that are attached to just using your prayer language and being in the Spirit and doing different things, and even your prayer time, even your normal prayer time can feel like that. Okay, what was that? You know, did anything change? You know, we still have the problem. We still, you know, I'm still fat. I mean, you know, you go, what did that change? You know, but where, again, the stronghold is that we have to logically make sense of everything. And so let me read some of this and look at some of this with me, if you would. You have no choice. You're here, captive audience. But I just love this. So he begins to talk, and he writes on this scripture. And he says, I speak in tongues a lot, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I do it a lot because it changes and it transforms me. And he feels it's lacking in the church, even among people. Like, we've paid a price to be the people we are. I paid a price to get here, to have the church we have, to have this independent church that we have. It cost a price, but I'm happy I got it now. Because I see other people that are like having to pay the price now. I'm like, oh yeah, dude, it costs you. It'll cost you. But here's the price. Don't complain about all the junk you're entangled with in your churches and if you're not willing to pay the price to walk that stuff out. And everybody has to know that for themselves. And he says, we often downplay the importance of individuals corporately and privately praying in tongues. He says, I've talked about fresh oil of praying in tongues in my other books, the building of ourselves up to keep in the love of God. And immediately, we all have these things we're concerned. Why am I not changing in this particular area? Why am I not getting breakthrough? Why am I having trouble staying in faith about things? And I would just encourage you today, there may be several reasons, there really may be, but if you would just come with me today and look, give attention to this. Could be. We're truly, I mean, this gift functions out of you, but you choose. And it never controls you. You release it. It stays like the spirit of prophecy is subject to what, to who? I mean, I probably wouldn't even have put this in the Bible if I was writing it. Subject to the prophet. I mean, if I was God and I was giving out gifts, I'd be like, this gift is good. You, not, you know, sometimes not so much. You don't behave real well all the time. So I'm going to be in charge of the gifts and I'll turn it on, turn it off. That's how I'd have done it. But obviously, So he says this thing that is ridiculous to my mind, like, I'm going to let you be in charge. I'm going to give you a gift, but you're in charge of this. I'm going to give you a precious gift from heaven. Jesus is going to give gifts to men, but he's going to leave the stewardship of that to you. Boy, talk about a risk taker. God is a big risk taker. I'm thinking there'd be a lot less messes if he'd stay in charge of that stuff, eh? So he gives this to us, and it's us choosing, and your prayer language is the same thing. You choose that. So how often do you choose that? You see where I'm going with this? And if your mind's fighting you on what's the point anyways, what changes? Okay, I'm babbling, driving in my car. What changes? Got your mind is going, it doesn't matter. The word says it matters. You're talking to God in the language he gave you. I'm going to go with it matters. I'm going to go with, let's do that and then let's see what God does. Whether it makes any sense to me or not. Jude chapter, there's only chapter one. There's only chapter one in Jude. Verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. And there's that, I don't know grammatically what to call that, but it's you. You keep yourself. You keep yourself in the love of God. So we love to, and it's appropriate, let's let this be about Jesus and put the emphasis on him. But again, there's a stewardship in us. You cannot deny the reality of stewardship in us to keep these things and to steward them in our lives. And here is instruction, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So he goes on to say, those same people should also know I endeavor to be a man of God's word through and through. I love God's word. I attempt in all facets of my life, publicly and privately, to give it paramount significance. One of the primary ways, not the only way, as we're attempting to show in this book, the Spirit intercedes through us, through through us, I'm sorry, is by speaking in tongues. But I also want to point out that it is the tongues in unison, working in tandem with the word, the Bible, being breathed on. And he refers to Rhema and Farah, and he gives Strong's numbers and from the Strong's concordance for all of these things. If you're unfamiliar with those two Greek words, it says, by the Holy Spirit, it is the word and the spirit flowing together that shows the activity of the glorious intruder working upon our lives. And then he refers to Job 22, 28. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. And James is saying that happens when you mix the word and the spirit. Now, this gets yummy here real quick. I'm sitting here at the table this morning. I'm like, oh, Phyllis, this is so good. Remember, he sent his word and healed the people, Psalms 107:20. So back to that thing where the word comes out of his mouth and becomes a tangible presence and force. It touches you. God always wants to be experienced. That changes things. He wants to be known and felt. He gave you, again, your logical mind. Our religious mind says otherwise, and we try to compensate for why we're not experiencing the presence of the Lord. The reality is we've got a God in heaven designed you to sense and feel and discern things. He wants to connect. So he wants you to experience his word spoken. He wants it to become a reality and have an impact on you. Just settle that. When you're, you know, the heavens are brass, whatever terms we use, let's just say that may be for a season, but that's not normal. Like the place, that's how I would want it. I have a daughter and I have many sons and daughters. I love connecting with them. Best moments are when we're clicking, we're connecting. They're sharing things with me, and I'm sharing with them, and they're, you know, they listen to me sometimes because they have to, and, you know, but there's interchange in reality. And what's the worst thing you can do to your husband or wife or other people you live with or close to is act like you're not listening? Does that not get some responses? I mean, Ashley from little, she could cue right into when I wasn't really listening. I'm like doing the fake listening thing, and she would just not tolerate it. She never did. She'd reach up, grab my face, make me look her in the eyes, you know, like, this is not acceptable, Dad. You are going to listen to me. You know, so you have this little one. What do you do? You know, your little one's grabbing your face saying, I want you focused here, telling you something. Anytime I'm one, you know, that never changed. She became a teenager. It became worse. You know, now that she's a young adult, it's still the same thing. I get busted if I start, I wander off and I'll just tell this because it's, you know, I can't hide it. I start whistling, you've lost me. Isn't that rude and embarrassing? I'm sorry, I don't do that on purpose, but you know, all of a sudden I'll be whistling, Karen or whoever, they're like, hey Rick, like, I know, I'm going to just quit talking. You're not listening to me. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm here. You're whistling. See, they know. Like, if you're whistling, you just have this little whistle going on, you're not listening anymore. So, there, I just told on myself. God wants to connect with you. He designed you so he connect. He designed you so that his word is living, and he wants this response. Then he gives you his spirit. Here, let me help you out. I'm going to put this in you. Now we're really going to connect. You know, it's like we put extra juice in our computers, and you know, we love technology and cars and whatever, you know, we live in a world where we know what it means to put some juice in something, to add it, to enhance it, turbocharge it, put extra sensors on it. Why? Because we want to respond even better. You know, it's not good enough that it gets from point A to point B. We want to go faster, quicker. We want to cross, you know, over the river and through the woods, you know. We have to have four-wheel drive, eight-wheel drive. You know, but we love the connection. We love things being enhanced, and he gives you his spirit so you can be enhanced. In case you go, I can't, I'm dull. Like, here, let me help you. And he infuses you with some extrasensory perception, his spirit. I mean, made in his image, we already got that going for us. And then he puts his spirit, sends his spirit to be truly this abiding presence. But you steward it. You steward the love of God. You steward the Holy Spirit. Remember, he sent his word, healed the people, Psalms 107:20. The people were astonished at the authority behind his words in Mark 1:27 when they saw Jesus start functioning, like, whoa, dude, this guy, he's talking like he has authority. Does he go through rabbi school? Like, where did he get his credentials at? What is this? He wasn't showing them pieces of paper on his wall in his study. Look, see, No, he functioned in authority. So the people are like, whoa, he speaks, stuff happens. He's real, he's authentic, he's powerful, he's affirmed. In our effort not only to imitate Christ, but manifest him, we cannot overlook the importance of the word and the spirit. For Jesus answered, said unto them, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So we need to know the word, but we also need to have the spirit. We are wise to live in the word and speak in the spirit continually, constantly, without ceasing. You doing that? We're kind of like, oh, you can't do that. Well, I'm still trying to get there, but I'm not going to dummy down the mandate to pray in the spirit and to pray continually just because I'm having a hard time getting up to the standard. You know, it's kind of like, what are some of those athletic events? Jump over the pole, the high jump, different things. And you try to hit the 9-foot, 10. I forget even the numbers of a normal, you know, big jump that me, I'd be doing good if I could jump over a sawhorse. So you can't clear it. So you go, no one's looking. I'm going to lower the bar so I can, you know, get over that. There, see, I did it. Yeah, but you lowered it by 3 feet. Like, that doesn't count, dude. So this, and especially because of his indwelling spirit, you can pray without ceasing. You can keep that going. It needs to be there. And I said to Phyllis this morning, I said, I'm still aware of times and seasons, and I'm disconnecting. I'm going through the motions, but I know I'm not staying engaged with the spirit. And it takes some effort because we choose this. It takes some effort, but the repercussions of staying in the spirit are huge. But because it's not logical, and we think I got to work harder, I got to do this more, do that more, we'd kind of step away from the importance of that. We must trust in our hearts. Somebody described trusting the Lord as laying down in the dirt, face down. Like, that's the posture of trusting in the Lord. So it's this coming into a place of true like helplessness, that you're totally abandoned. You're totally out of your own mode to protect and to do and to be strong and to whatever. And you're trusting in the Lord. You're like just putting yourself in the most humble position and believing that he hears and knows, and that he will bring things to pass, that he will work. So when Joshua had this mandate, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what was Joshua's strength? To try harder, to be a good leader, to go to leadership training. Moses just died. I need to get, I got to get my credentials. I got to get my plaque on a wall. I can lead these people. You know, I went to school, and training's great, and all those things are good. But what the Spirit said, in order for you to fulfill the task and do the task that's ahead of you, meditate on this day and night. Like, don't let it depart from you. You need to keep this right up front. I mean, that's a mandate for every leader, and that's actually a mandate for all of us, to keep that right up front, keep that there, and make it your meditation, and like keep it on the wall, keep it in the forefront, what you see. Honestly, we have to confess we're not really that good at that, are we? Like, we're lacking. We got the problems. I say we go for the cure. We got the issues. We got plenty of those. Let's go for the answers. And let's hold the answer up high and go, wow, only by grace am I going to get there. But there's the answer. There it is. We are wise to live in the Word, speak in the Spirit, continually, constantly, without ceasing to meditate on it, chew it over and over, but also blend it with our prayer life. That is, while speaking in tongues. It's an interesting point to make about the cloven tongues, and this is where I want, oh, I like that. Acts, the Spirit falls, and they see tongues as fire, and they were cloven tongues. Cloven means split. Listen to what he says about this. I love this guy as a teacher. Cloven or riven is simply an archaic way of saying split or divided in two, or twain. If you want to get real old school about it, in the Old Testament, a clean animal was one with cloven hooves chewing the cud. He refers to Leviticus 11. So I'm not here to encourage living under the law, but rather to point out the types and foreshadowing of it. The Lord demands a clean sacrifice when we worship and meditate on Him. It should be directed by His Spirit and split into two parts, the Word and the Spirit. So here you are again, the Word and the Spirit, these two in connection. Cloven, two parts, splitting from a whole, thus blending together as one act of worship while we are chewing our cuds. And then James says, did I drive the cow metaphor home well enough? Like, you know. Yeah, got it. Our brains are, here it goes on, our brains are separated into two halves. We know that. The right side, left side. One's more logical, one's more emotional feeling, right? The left being the realm of logic, the right being the realm of creativity. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. Reference 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Again, two parts. The understanding and in the Spirit are right side, left side. Look at it this way. Praying in tongues releases your creative side. And some of the different ministry that I've gotten to get baptized in, I don't know what to say, but I've just gotten to get a lot of different ministry. And one of the things in praying over people is there are people in ministry that are doing this, that are just rediscovering the value of just taking authority of your mind and your brain and just these things, just calling it back to order. And because of a lot of things, you realize what we're buzzed, we're messed up, we're, you know, and we need reset. We need set back to the standard. So I love it because we were created this way. And then confusion comes in and different things come and get us all of sin comes in and it gets us all messed up. And we need those things restored and renewed. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17, 17. We are made clean through the washing of the water of the word. We are set apart, sanctified by the word. We throw off the imposed limitations of fleshly living so we can serve the Lord in truth and in spirit. Again, two parts flowing as spirit and truth. For added clarity on the cleanliness of our worship, which is to be a walk of life, a constant attitude, we could delineate fleshly living, dirty and unclean, according to the definition in Galatians 5, juxtaposed to the flesh, unsoiled fruit of the Spirit. Fleshly living is the epitome of living under doctrines of legalism. Read Galatians 5. It's the context of the law versus the Spirit. We must walk cleanly in the Spirit. I click with that. I click with that's one of my prayers in this season of my life. to come to a consecrated place, a sanctified place. Only I'm not, it's not about rule, it's about, wouldn't you love to be in that place? There truly is nothing between you and Jesus, just flow, just connection. That's what I consider as consecration and being sanctified and set apart and having that, the fullness of that work, rather than feeling diluted and diluted and feeling, you know, pulled to come to this place. And of course, the Spirit, you know, this is the work the Holy Spirit wants to perfect in us. And then we can be in faith, and we're not in this conflict with ourself. That I love this word. You start using the word cleanness, and again, not in a legalistic way or a rule keeping way, but this cleanness of spirit that clicks with me. I'm like, yes, I get that. I hear that. I know that I can get there. My position is granted from Jesus. I want to enter into the fullness of that. So there's connection. So he goes on to share these things. And I want to jump to another section where he talks about boldness. Again, this is part of what the Spirit does, that infusing and the Spirit in you. You know, we're singing this song, You Make Me Brave. And I keep thinking about it through the week. I think about that, and I think about the song, and I go, boy, the next time we sing that at church, I need to really make this point, you know? Like, but I've got to be careful up there because I don't need to get off on things. But the work of the Spirit is to make us brave, and that's an awesome thing. I want to be brave. I want to be fearless in pursuing the Lord and going after things. And he's the one that makes you brave. And it's amazing how many things, some of the things that you're not doing well that you know you should be, still are related to fear and fear being fear-based and having a stronghold of fear. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of whatever. And I want that eradicated. I want to be brave, and the Spirit, and praying more in the Spirit, and giving the Holy Spirit his proper position and place in our life will really help eradicate the fear issue and cause you to be bold. Like when I'm praying for something that's difficult to do and a step to make, I turn it into, every time it comes to mind, I start praying about it, and I'm praying for this, for that unction, for that boldness to come, for that resolve to come. Because when I get that from the Spirit, I'm fearless. Then I'm ready to do even difficult things. I'm good to go. I kind of need that thing from him. And so when I don't have it, I wait on it. But I make it my prior. I don't go, well, whatever, I don't have this stuff for. I go, I'm praying because I know I've got to get to this place. And I'm crying out to the Lord every time it comes to my mind. I'm like, help me in this. I'm waiting to give this to me, bring me to this place. Because when I get that click from you, when I get that presence from you, I'll have what I need, and I'll be able to make that step. This reference to Acts chapter 4, verse 31, of course, we know the Spirit comes in Acts here. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. They were bold. They were brave. They were strong. That boldness supersedes the power of strongholds that are pulling at you of your past. It supersedes everything else. And so it's so good to talk about this because we go, here's the answer. Because we're saying, here's the answer. Here's what I need to put up front. This is what to go after to resolve some of these things, to get what I need. So he starts to talk about boldness. I won't take this on too long. And it's the Greek paresia, pronounced paresia. I'm going to just stick with English. It means to pour forth all, to speak unreservedly, have the freedom to speak openly or frankly, clearly, without mincing words. The term conveys freedom. fearless confidence, cheerful courage, assurance. And note this, the deportment, that means demeanor, posture, manner, behavior, by which one becomes conspicuous or secures publicity. Modernized, all of that means this, that means the way we carry ourselves that spreads fame. Only it's not our fame, it's his fame. When we carry ourselves with this boldness, it spreads fame. That's how this all plays out. It means by which the Spirit, through our boldness, because of his boldness, spreads the fame of Jesus Christ. It attracts the attention of the public, all from releasing our heavenly tongues. I say we pray in tongues more. I say we pray in tongues a lot more. I say we give more time to just pray in the Spirit. And even when your mind says this is stupid, just go, just sit down for a second. Just give it a break, you know? Ever want to just say that to your mind? Just take a break, man. You're like, Dave, you're driving me crazy. Just hush. By exercising our spirits praying in tongues, it synergizes us with the Holy Spirit. I mean, right there, that line alone is very motivating. You feel like a person set apart from who you really are? It's actually normal because of what we live in, our culture, our everyday life, all the things that are pulling from us. It's no wonder we feel like, I mean, I know we're all getting older and our memories aren't the greatest. However, you know what really makes that bad is when you're trying to do five things at one time and your mind is never really where you are. And I feel very comforted by that statement because I'm watching our young adults and they're the same way. And they're not old. They don't have the old claws to pull. So I'm like, I go, oh, I just love that. You know, our young mothers, it's like us baby brain. Yeah, it's like, yeah, whatever. So we tease and laugh. But honestly, it's because our minds are, I mean, that would be the exact reason, you know, that young mothers are saying that. Why? Because they got a lot on their plate. You know, they're pulled and the whole, you know, life just changed. I'm trying to catch up with it and it keeps changing and it won't slow down. And so we start living all pulled apart. And then add into that a couple shame issues and a couple train wrecks in our life and this and that. And pretty soon we're walking around going, blah, 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 you know, what's wrong with you? I'm not diagnosed with anything, but I'm not really doing that well, honestly. Can you see, you know? I believe we'll give a real place. This is mostly in your private life. This is mostly something you'll do when not seen by anybody else. If we will give more time consciously with a decision to pray in the Spirit more and give more time to the Spirit, I believe it's amazing. He'll bring your whole being, because you're intricately made. You're not a simple thing. Body, soul, and spirit, and it's no small thing to get that all tuned in. Let's just say it, it's not. We need the Spirit because every attack that comes to our bodies, every attack that comes to our emotions, our soul, every attack that comes to our spirit, it affects our being. We weren't made to function apart from what we are. Sometimes we would look at this is what Gnosticism is. It's trying to pull anything emotional and anything passion, pull that out of the equation because sin was equated with that. And so on purpose, many churches through church history became very stoic, and the less emotion you could show, the less passion in preaching or worship or whatever, that was considered, that's religious. You know, that's Gnosticism. That's believing that your soulish parts or your emotional part of your being is bad. And what if Jesus, and this is the absolute truth, wants to redeem all of you? He doesn't want you to be a, you know, half-functioning whatever. He created you body, soul, and spirit, and he wants everything working, man. Y'all came here with cars, except for me and Phyllis and the dog, probably. I suppose even the neighbors drove. Didn't you, son? See? We want our vehicles, we want them to look good on the outside. If you care about those things, I hope you do. You want it to be good on the inside. And even where you sit in the seat, you want it to smell good. I mean, you want your car, every aspect of it, to be good and in good shape. That's the goal, isn't it? How much more your bodies that we be complete, that we be whole. And I believe that, I mean, it's the call, and it's just so good to just take time and go, we need to pray in the Spirit more. We need to rely in the Spirit more. We need to really celebrate him. And when you start doing that, you lose a lot of anxiety right there, right out of the gate. And I've shared with you, I've got doors opening up right and left where I'm just making connections with leaders. And I actually find myself in situations. Every week there's another one or two. It's really amazing what's going on. I never believed I'd be in this position. And it's not because I go and I go, okay, I'm meeting with so-and-so, and I'm going to be profound. Because honestly, I'm like, geez, here's another situation, another, you know, that I haven't done well in the past over these things. And now I'm finding going to those things and not allowing myself to even think much about it. Just go, just push through, just be obedient, just be where I feel I'm supposed to be. And It's been awesome. It's neat. I'm like another person sitting watching, go, wow, look what happened. That's neat. So this is about this place of coming to truly trusting in the Lord. Not trusting in our own abilities, not thinking, oh yeah, I got it. I'm God's gift to the world. Here I come. You know? Open the gate, you know. Remember the old worship song we sang? Open up the gates, you know. It's a song to sing about Jesus, not about us though. But to come to the place where the Spirit has precedence, and that now we can be, maybe it's not even an issue of confidence as much as it is, I'm at peace because I've got a companion that's got this job. I mean, I've got this under control. I have one that dwells in me that is large and in charge. And so when that transfers to truly trusting the one in us, We just walk different. We act different. We're different people. I'm good. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there. But he's going to go with me. And it'll be okay. I don't have to perform anyways. It's just neat. Called to love, so I can do that. And now the shift is happening. I just can't tell you how neat this is. It's been a terrible cut on me that happens in my little private world, thought life, you know, experience. But we all have those things. So fear of things is getting, it's just, I didn't do it. I'm just watching it diminish. I'm like, wow, I don't have fear in that area. This is neat. I like this. This feels good. I think I got a chance now. And I remember the different seasons in our church. I don't have a formula how we broke through things. I really don't. But I will say this. If there is one, it's this. That we kept pursuing the Lord step by step and finding the things that he wanted us to do. And there were no instance in a lot of the transformations where there really weren't instance, but our faithfulness, just hanging in there, keep walking, and now we're experiencing things that we couldn't experience before. We're experiencing freedoms that we couldn't experience before. We're experiencing graces, breakthroughs, doors opening, transformation. That's good. So let's pray today. Simple prayer. Father, in your presence today, we just want to acknowledge that we don't trust in your spirit as much as we should. We're still trying to get our acts together, and that's fine, but we really need to cast this trust area to you and the strength to change and be transformed. We want to consciously say, that's you. And Holy Spirit, we love you and we're sorry for grieving you, and we want to just give you a whole lot more access. We've been given stewardship of the release and function in our lives. And so we choose to keep the love of God, and we choose today to give you place. And even in this gift of our prayer language of tongues, we release that. We've got the gift. We want to use that day and night. We want to practice and exercise just praying in the Spirit. Your Spirit gives utterance. And then we'll be praying the exact right thing for all the unknown things. We'll be praying in your Spirit for the transformations that we need. We're praying in your Spirit for the assignments that you have for us. I don't want to miss any more assignments because I'm bound up in myself, or I'm not paying attention, or I'm dull of hearing. I want to be in tune and in touch. So, Father, we're going to keep declaring here that we believe that your word to us, your word, needs to be joined with the Spirit, that you want your word to become a touch, tangible, sensed force that impacts us, whatever word it is. That you want to interact with us, and that when we're in seasons of dullness and we can't hear and can't perceive, that your heart desire is that we're connected, that we're walking hand in hand with you. We're walking with you. So fill us. Baptize us with your Spirit. And we just want to stay in this posture. As I was reading again about Mary and the visitation of the angel coming to her and giving her the declaration, the word and the promise that the Holy Spirit was going to fall on her and she was going to conceive. And later in that chapter, we see her doing something that was probably the reason it happened, opposed to the reason it may not have happened. That she makes this statement to you, let it be according to me. Let it be done to me according to your word. And so we want to stay in this posture of always saying, let it be according to your word, let it be done to us. According to your word, let us receive what you have for us. According to your promise, we cooperate. And even if we've had an experience in the Holy Spirit before, we want to keep in this place of saying yes to you. Today, we say yes to you. This morning, we say yes to you. And I just release greater impacts and encounters in Jesus' name to come. Honestly, most of the things that I've been impacted by the Spirit, Lord, you know, they weren't even in meetings. They were just, it just came sovereignly. When I was laying in my bed, or when I was here, when I was there, you just saw, you did without hype, without anything. You dropped that, but out of seasons of me seeking you. And so we enter into a season of seeking more and making ourselves available. And at this moment we say yes, and I ask that we'll just release greater and more encounters all across this room. Encounters with your Spirit. We need change. When I encounter you, my mind can't figure it out. But my spirit is, my inner man is transformed. And the results and the impact are seen and known. So impact us, touch us in ways that are seen and ways that are known. We'll just give our logic a rest and our thinking, just give it a rest. Strongholds that would argue and cause us to doubt or reason, we'll just give those a rest. We can just be in a place of truly always being pliable. Willing, yielded to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Do what you will do. Do what you will do.